From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast to Coast AM, Emerging Artist Night for you tonight for the first few hours. And then later on, we talk about positive change. Here's what's happening. A new and disturbing study is raising alarm about the ease that teenagers with histories of mental illness or suicidal acts have access to guns in their homes. The study found that 41% of the teens in a home with a firearm had easy access to the weapon, and that the percentage was the same among teens who suffer from mental health problems or who tried to kill themselves or thought about it. Parents, if you have a gun in your house and you have a child, make sure you have that gun locked up or you have trigger locks on it, please. Search teams have recovered four more bodies from the Java Sea as the hunt to find the main wreckage of the Air Asia flight enters a second week. A search and rescue chief said that 34 bodies have now been found, as well as five large objects. But bad weather has forced divers to suspend their bid to find the plane's fuselage, which most of the bodies are believed to be trapped. The plane was carrying 162 people. It crashed last Sunday. A 4.9 magnitude earthquake in a remote Idaho county triggered rock slides that blocked some road lanes Saturday, did not cause any major damage or injuries, and then hours later, a couple more quakes there. California had a few as well. What's going on? It's time to check in with Cal Ori, of course. She's an author who does predict earthquakes as well. Cal, are we waiting for the big one out here in California?
Well, you know, last year I kept stretching it, but I give it a 70% probability, yeah. So I'm safe. I'm not a fraud. It's overdue. Now we're going to give some credit to the man, Jim Berkland, because the full moon is today, so he got a hit, no doubt. And the full moon is in Cancer, and I'm kind of an astrologer when I work for the Psychic Network.
That's right.
Cancer is water sign. And I did make a forecast December 13th for my annual forecast of 2015, and I did say Southern California or Northern California. Potential epicenters would be anywhere near the San Andreas and near water, 7.0, a major earthquake or larger. San Andreas is 109 miles northwest from that, how do you pronounce it, Castaic Dam. Mm-hmm. Could that break? Lucy Jones, USGS, she's playing it down and says no. I just read tonight that it could hold up for an 8.0. But I hope you all can swim down there.
Yeah, really, Kel. Now, are we going to see any signs?
Be prepared.
If a big one hits, do we see any telltale signs before it happens?
Yeah, if you're very sensitive like me, and if you've got seismically sensitive critters, birds, animals, dogs, yeah, cats, you're in luck. If you live in the vicinity, of course, if you live far, far away, like if you live in Utah, you're probably not going to feel it. But if you live near the epicenter, even Berkland taught me if the quake is strong enough, if it is a 7.0, you could see some of the signs from animals acting out weeks ahead of time, like the Loma Prieta quake that he had predicted back in 89.
Good point. And they take
however,
off.
However, I have to mention I'm going to Vancouver in a week, and there's been a lot of quakes offshore. So I want to say goodbye if it happens to me.
Don't say goodbye, Cal.
I am a very good swimmer.
I'll just have a little preserver on, okay? And you did mention that it is a full moon. It's called the Wolf Moon. In January, they call it that because snow gathers deep in the woods and the howling of wolves can be heard echoing in the cold, still air. Archaeologists in Egypt have unearthed the tomb of a previously unknown queen. The tomb was found in Abu Sir, southwest of Cairo, and is thought to belong to the wife or mother of a pharaoh who ruled 4,500 years ago. Chris Martinson is a world-renowned expert on identifying dangerous yet hidden patterns in global economies, energy demand, and food consumption, and he is predicting a 60% stock market collapse that will strike in the next 3 months, 4 months, who knows? His shocking forecast is based on new alarming patterns. Let's check in with Andre Eglashon, author of Thieves in the Temple. A lot of people, Andre, are talking about the stock market, that it's up way too high. What do you think?
Well, George, I think that there are a lot of signs that there could be problems ahead for the stock market. We know that, you know, for over a decade, the Federal Reserve has held interest rates at historic lows. The 5 years we've had quantitative easing has kind of led investors into, unrealistic outlook on the economy. And consequently, we're seeing the VIX, which is the volatility index, it spiked on Friday. We have rising Treasury yields. They've more than doubled since October. The cost of insuring investment-grade corporate credit has gone up significantly recently. And there is a huge spread now in the TED spread as well as in the LIBOR rate spread. We're seeing an increase in that. So there are a lot of signs that this market is due for a correction at some point in the near future.
All right, Andre, thank you so much. Okay, those of you who are Sylvester Stallone fans, listen to this. John Rambo will live to fight again. The troubled Vietnam vet, first seen in the 1982's Rambo First Blood, will appear in one final movie, according to the actor who portrays him, Sylvester Stallone.
I want you to come with me to help you lead the team. What do you say, John?
I put in my time.
What's that mean?
It means my war's over.
It sure is over. Sylvester Stallone let the news slip while sharing talk about another movie he's going to be playing in a story about Greg Scarpa. And that is a mobster, an FBI informant who's in jail. And also, he announces that he will play boxer Rocky Balboa in an upcoming movie called Creed. It will be the sixth in the Rocky film series, scheduled for release in 2016. Isn't that amazing? Up next, we talk about manifestation, intention. Get ready to change your luck. It's called Liquid Luck. Next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Looking forward to a couple hours here with Dr. Joseph Gallenberger. This is going to be fun. He was on with me over a year ago. Dr. Joseph, of course, is a clinical psychologist with 30 years' experience as a therapist. Now, back in 1992, he began to investigate psychokinesis, PK. Now, that's the ability, as you know, to influence matter through non-physical means. He is a senior trainer at the Monroe Institute. He trains a spectrum of programs and develops the Institute's highly successful MC2 program, which teaches psychokinesis, healing, manifestation. He developed the Sync Creation, which is a course in manifestation, which is a study version. You can do this at home of the MC program. And when he was on with me last year, we talked about Liquid Luck, the Good Fortune Handbook. And that is going strong, Joseph. You're changing everybody's luck these days. Welcome back.
Hi, George. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
You too. I'm looking forward to this. Let's go back a little bit and tell us how you got into trying to change people's luck. I mean, I think you and a group went to Las Vegas. You did some things. Let's get into that.
Yes. I started with an interest in projecting energy to affect physical matter and actually an energy healing, and that's hard to study scientifically, so it took me into this area of psychokinesis, or PK, where you can bend metal with your mind or grow seeds in your hand in a few minutes, those kind of things, and studied that at university labs. And then I really wanted to get a black belt in PK, if you will, so I started going to Las Vegas, because the dice are guaranteed to be neutral. So
you get a black belt or a black eye there.
Yeah. So at this point, George, I've done 70 inner Vegas adventure workshops with people, teaching them this, using that feedback of seeing you're being able to affect matter real quickly out there to help with manifesting, healing, those kind of things in people's lives. And so with that, that's great, but I wanted to summarize that down really to its essence. And so last time on, we did go through the Liquid Luck CD, which is a 30-minute meditation to get people to raise the energy, open their hearts, focus it in the right way, and see immediately results. And so that went so well and got so many stories that I put a book out a few months ago called Liquid Luck, The Good Fortune Handbook, which brings us up to today.
Well, good. Now, you know, a lot of people think that luck, Joseph, is merely random. It just, it's luck. It happens. But you believe we can control luck. Tell me how.
Yes. So you're referring to, you know, the way we were taught was old Newtonian science. The world's a mechanical place. There's no meaning, only randomness. And so in that sense, luck means chance. Everything's random, and at times infrequent events happen, good or bad, to all of us. So we talk about that as luck is probability taken personally. That's what the scientists would say. But since then, with the study of psychokinesis, we see it clearly points that we can influence things that we used to consider random, things like the weather, flips of a coin, rolls of the dice, are really able to be influenced by human consciousness. And that's in line with modern physics science. Which shows even the act of observation shapes what potential will become reality. So in that situation, there's room for us to influence what happens, and I think we can create a field of energy and thought that cultivates a large increase in luck, and I've seen a lot of proof that that's so. Some people are so lucky it defies all reasonable attempts to explain it away by chance.
You're right. I mean, they could be, if you use Las Vegas for an example, you could have two people right next to each other. One's lucky, one isn't, and it does defy odds, doesn't it?
Yes. So we've had people win major lottery five times. That shouldn't happen once for a quadrillion times. In the Vegas adventures I've done, we've seen people guess six numbers in roulette in a row, which is 1.6 billion to one by chance. I've hit many, many royal flushes at 160,000 to one by chance.
Wow.
So we get that nice proof that our thoughts really do matter and our energy matters, and we can really influence our reality, which I think is a real important lesson at this time in our culture.
Well, Joseph, are the thoughts creating the destiny? Are they changing the cards? Are they changing the dice? Are they changing the events that occur in people's lives?
Well, first I would say it's more than thought. Thought is very helpful. You know, if you go in no pain, no gain, nothing good comes easy, negative thoughts like that, they'll suppress this. If you feel very much one with everybody, grounded to the earth, connected to spirit, have a very positive attitude, that helps. But in addition to thought is the energy, and we find the most powerful emotion is love. Other powerful emotions like, you know, gratitude, happiness, also really fuel the kind of energy you'd need to move these things and change what reality comes in. So not enough to just think positive, but you got to be and feel positive.
What about attitude? Attitude is important, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you go in negative, what happens?
Yeah, that's what you get is negative, and then you say, see, I'm right. You know, I've watched in those 70 workshops so many people get lucky, and I can track they're feeling good before they win, not after. They will feel good afterwards, of course, but it's not like you go in a frumpy mood and all of a sudden something good happens. And this is broader, of course, than the casino. If you're applying for a job, creating a new project, looking for soulmate, working on your health, that positive attitude tends to breed positive results. And you got to be able to develop happiness, other positive emotions, not have them as a reaction, say, well, I'll be happy when good things happen to me, or I'll be grateful when there's something to be grateful for. You learn how to be grateful, be happy, regardless of what's going on. And that's a very powerful state to be in then.
We're talking with Dr. Joseph Gallenberger, and this is more important than just rushing off to Vegas to do some betting. This is about your life and how liquid luck can help change that. Tell me about Roy Sullivan, who was unlucky.
Roy is an interesting guy. He was struck by lightning. seven times over a 30-year period.
Seven times. I shouldn't laugh.
And
that's horrible.
We look at the odds of that, and the odds of being struck by lightning over a period of 80 years have been estimated about 1 in 10,000. So if lightning strikes are random, the probability of being hit seven times would be 1 in 10 to the 28th power.
My gosh.
Nine zeros is a trillion, so 28 zeros, you can't even give the word to it.
He's a human antenna.
Yes. I imagine he hides in the basement for the
summer
season.
If he should hold up a lightning rod. Well, maybe not, I guess.
not so much.
I mean, so how do you explain this? A guy gets hit by lightning seven times with the estimates, as you said, 1 in 10 to the 28th power. That's 10 followed by 28 zeros. That's so far down, I can't even read it. How do you explain this?
Well, I've never met him personally. I'd love to.
Don't shake his hand.
It would be like, if it were me, the first time I got struck, after that, I would have great fear. I'd be thinking about it all the time in a negative way, like, oh, I hope it wouldn't happen again. I'm assuming he's not standing on a roof all the time. In fact, most people who have been struck by lightning really hide at any sign of storm. So you get to a place, it's either karmic or he's creating that reality. We don't know for sure, but you cannot explain it by chance.
All right, but some would say he's lucky because he escaped death seven times.
Yes, yeah, that could be. There's another fella, Fran Seldak. He avoided death seven times in accidents that killed others with him. where he should have been killed, a train he was in plunged into an icy river, killing 17 people.
Oh, my gosh.
The plane door opened and burst open, killing 19 people, and he landed in a haystack. And after the end of the seven times brushes with death, he won a $1 million lotto. So people claimed him the luckiest man in the world for cheating death so many times and winning the lottery. But he disagreed. He said, I never thought I was lucky to survive all my brushes with death. I thought I was unlucky to be in them in the first place. So I guess it's in the eye of the beholder.
You talk about this as a magic moment for people. Explain that.
When this works, it's sort of impossible till it's easy. And when this works, it feels very magical. You feel graced. You feel blessed. When the Liquid Luck CD came out, within hours began to get reports. People win, $1,000 scratch ticket 1 week, another $1,000 scratch ticket. People that had dreams of inventions or art projects or getting businesses
new romance, careers, everything changed.
It seemed to almost fall in their lap when the energies were right. It seems that way, but probably they've done quite a bit of preparation too. And so it can feel really terrific to be lucky. Strangely, it can also feel uneasy to be lucky, because our culture rewards hard work. And so when somebody says, he was just lucky or she was just lucky, that can be almost an insult, like you were lazy and just something happened to you. So we want to get rid of first the thought that luck is random. The second thing we need to get rid of to be lucky is the idea that it would be bad to be lucky, strange as that sounds, because hard work is wonderful. It can get you many places, but if you combine hard work with luck, boy, there's unlimited places you can go.
That's true. How do you explain how it works? What is it out there that makes this happen?
I think we're in a free choice universe that will tend to give you whatever you put a lot of thought and energy into, and the type of energy. Within that, we're highly creative beings. We create reality. We create a communal reality for our culture, for the world, and also we create our own to a good extent. We're also bouncing into other people's creations, but we will tend to attract positive if we're in a positive place and negative if we're in negative. So, if half the people in your town were negative and half positive, if you're in positive, you'll come across people much more frequently that resonate with that. and they can help you. They'll be more cheerful. That helps you be more cheerful, and it's a good cycle.
The work that you've done, the incredible work that you've done to try to put this together, I want you to think about it. We're already at the top of the bottom of the hour already. My gosh, well, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Joseph Gallenberger with us. We'll take your calls next hour, your stories as well. Joseph, when you started investigating psychokinesis, what was it that got you interested in that?
Well, I had a brother, as I mentioned to you before, a very beloved, commit suicide many years ago, about 22 now. And that really puzzled me because he was a really good man. He was responsible, handsome, hardworking, honest, all the good things. But he didn't have the beliefs that he could needed for success. And so his life wound down in a bad path. I was, as you know, a therapist as well, and mm-hmm. I saw a lot of other people do the same thing. So I really was on a search to why bad things happen to good people, if you will. As I began to work with the Monroe Institute, which I think is one of the most fabulous places in the world,
sure
for yourself,
good people,
and with great brainwave technology to help you get into deep states of awareness quickly. As I moved in and worked at Monroe, first going as a participant and then as a trainer there, been a trainer there, I guess, now about 22 years. I saw just the opposite, that people moving into states of very expanded awareness were having all kinds of great things happen to them just in life. And then within that began to see these things we could call spooky or magical, where you could bend metal with your mind or cause dice to roll in patterns, energy healing. That really fascinated me. And I was motivated from, seeing pain in other people, having some depression myself early in life, and seeing the difference it made if you changed your thinking and your beliefs, and then your emotions, to really create a magical life. So it's become a passion for me. I've spent the last two decades exploring and still learning every day.
Well, the transition from investigating psychokinesis, PK, and then moving into areas like luck.
Yes.
When you started doing that, did you see things change?
Very much so. And initially, of course, you worry it was just luck, and great things would happen. And then began to realize that we can influence our good fortune. So what most people would call luck in that form, when it just seems like amazing things happen to people on the good side, really was, at least under our influence, we could cultivate it if we really focused on specific things. So Liquid Luck, the Good Fortune Handbook, explores the importance of things such as feeling happiness, feeling gratitude, love, praise, compassion, each in there for a particular reason. For example, compassion opens us up to not be an ego and to be aware of other people's needs. And then I think the universe even more wants to cooperate with giving us power, good things, abundance, because now we're helping others as well as ourselves. So it almost became a science of what you would put in to the formula to create a lot of luck. Some people have talked about feel abundant. Yes, that's true. Not enough. Each one of these adds to the power and makes the thing stronger and stronger.
Are there some bullet points here to change your luck that you want to just buzz through with pretty quickly?
Sure. I would, first emphasize happiness, because it allows you to be in the present moment, be happy to be here, and that means being grounded, and that's very important.
Okay.
And happiness kind of opens your energy. I don't know if anybody's ever had the experience of being in a really bad mood and creating luck, usually in a really good one. So we start with happiness. We move into the idea of being abundant. And even have exercises in the book where you list the abundance of friends, pets in your life, beauty of nature, and you really see how much you already got, including the beauty of your own human body. That naturally leads to gratitude. which is a very powerful emotion. And then, as we mentioned, we bring in compassion. Love links us with the Creator, with all of life. And then to bring in a feeling of feeling very fortunate. You know, most people having the opportunity to listen to this show are not starving tonight. They're not being bombed in war, those kind of things.
True.
Feel lucky. And if you add all those together, then think what you want. That's a really good formula.
So that begins to change your luck.
Yes. And the way Liquid Luck CD is designed and is to slip under what I call a dragons, you know, the manifestations of fear. We might have doubt, bad past experience, what have you. By being in a deep meditative state and doing this, you can kind of slip under your history, if you will, and all the culture's negativity. And all of a sudden you see this pop of luck, then you got something to hang on to and pursue.
Well, I was listening to the Liquid Luck CD again, and it was almost as if you're putting us into some kind of self-hypnosis state to try to manifest these various features that you just pointed out.
Yes, it's a very deep meditative state, first starting with relaxing. The nice thing about a CD is, you know, somebody's not controlling your mind. You can turn it off or whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving from that relaxing, which is very similar to a hypnotic relaxation, into feeling greater and greater energy, letting go of anything that might be in the way, that's on your mind, distracting you or negative, and then really focusing very clearly on creating what you would like in terms of these feelings, as well as what you might want to direct those feelings toward, whether that's the soulmate or the invention, what have you. And so, you know, it's fun because some people have done that the first time. They're an engineer. They've never done any meditating. Think this is kind of bunk. And they solve a problem that's been bothering them for years, an engineering problem, and all of a sudden their business takes off and they're filled with inventions. And then they write a nice letter for me to put in the book. I got about 24 stories there of what people have done with this. And it's kind of fun. Some folks were able to get, you know, the new iPod when it came out, when there weren't any available, by winning it in a contest to things that are pretty profound in terms of life-changing for them. But they almost all express surprise and, hey, this really works, and delight about that. And then that gets them going on a, you know, a deeper quest, if you will, to make this a lifelong pattern.
Some people, let's say, who win the lottery and win it big, end up going broke, or they're not happy later on in life. What happens to them?
Well, I'm going to start with saying I know quite a few lottery winners who are doing well decades later.
Okay.
But what they say is that the lotto high lasts about 3 months, and then things begin to normalize, and that can feel kind of stressful. And so if you try to chase the lotto high by continuing to spend money, you'll go broke. But if you begin to live from the principles we're talking about, then abundance increases. So I know one fellow I'm thinking of, you know, he won $3 million playing poker in Vegas and then $6 million in a lottery.
Whoa!
And he had been, earlier in his life, severely injured. He had worked his all the way up from being almost paralyzed to walking again. And with his attitude, which is very much in line with what I'm talking about, he's a pretty good friend. He now has increased that abundance many times over and above what he won in the lottery. So it depends on your attitude going in. And you know, there is kind of a myth, well, the lottery would ruin you. It doesn't for a lot of people. Some people it does. It depends whether you can handle a big change in your status, your beliefs, and if you're surrounded by, you know, love and good advisors and those kind of things, or whether you are feeling pretty mm-hmm. rough in life and then you try to spend money to ease the pain.
I remember years ago, Joseph, a fellow in Michigan, won the lottery. He had been living in a trailer, a mobile home, and he won $100 million. He stayed in the trailer, and he bought himself a guitar.
All right.
That's what he wanted. It never went to his head.
Yes.
And I find that amazingly cool.
Yes, I think, when I hear stories of what people are going to do, if they say, I'm going to give to my community or I'm going to help my family or, you know, we're going to kind of keep the same home, those kind of things, those are good positive signs that they probably can handle a change.
When you talk about happiness, because that was number one on your list, tell me why that's important.
We find it's amazingly more important than we think. You know, there's lots of studies out saying, you know, eat right or do this for your heart. When you look deeper, probably being happy is the biggest thing you can do for your health. There was a study done, a very interesting study over six decades, started in 1932. 178 nuns, all having a similar lifestyle, diet, social class, access to medical care. And the study found that the nuns writing the most cheerful essays at the time of admission to their order when they were very young, 90% were alive at 85 versus only 34% of the least cheerful essay writers.
Huh.
So a big change. And then they did an even simpler study in terms of indication. You can tell when you take a photo whether it's a genuine smile or a fake one. There's different muscles that move if you look at the photograph carefully. So they looked at photos of women.
Unless it's a selfie.
Yeah. They looked at their photos of women on their graduation picture, and those with genuine smiles had much more personal well-being over the next 30 years versus those with an inauthentic smile. So it's going to really drive your health, your success in many ways. So that's one of the reasons we mentioned happiness is so important. The second is a lot of people are trying to change their reality without fully being here. They're in pain, and so they're flicking to worries about the future or dwelling on the past. They're not in the present moment, and they really don't even want to be on the planet in some ways, you know, because it's a painful place. That means they're not grounded, and then you cannot influence the physical because you're not really here fully. So being happy is one of the first steps to really get solidly here in that present moment that we hear of, the power of now.
Now, when you say abundant, which was on your list, what does that mean?
That means being aware of how much good is already flowing to you. I even have a CD called Abundance Waterfall, where you imagine the abundance as a waterfall that's just flowing around you. So most people are fortunate enough they could review, and they've had dogs and cats that have been beloved pets in their life. They've experienced the beauty of nature. They've had friendships. They've read a lot of books, an abundance of books. And you begin to see how abundant you already are and how much of a miracle you already are. You know, if I said that there was a planet, that there was a symphony with 50 trillion members and all playing in this symphony with billions of new members every day playing a beautiful song, you'd say that's a miracle. Well, that's our body. We have 50 trillion cells and we sing the song of life sometimes for 100 years or more, even though, you know, each day billions of cells come and go. So when you get aware of how much miracle is around you, you feel naturally abundant. And then if you want a new car or a new job or whatever, that becomes a cherry on top of the sundae. So feeling abundant before you go to try to become more abundant is very powerful, rather than feeling lack and trying to increase your abundance. Does that make sense?
It sure does. It sure does. It's amazing how it works. And attitude, though, has so much to do with it. So
yeah,
much.
And it's easy to say, and it can be challenging to do. You know, we can be in an abusive relationship or have been told as a kid we're not worth much, or, you know, so that's why I developed this In Creation Home Study course for when there's really deep things, because that course has personal coaching, many other meditations and exercises to really go deep to wash away any impediments. But you could look at most of the impediments as being a form of fear of some sort. My favorite phrase I got right on my wall over my desk is, fear is expensive, love is priceless, choose wisely.
Have you found in your Vegas experiment that if you went in with a bad attitude, that they generally lost?
Yes, very clearly. Same into a job interview, bad attitude, you know, when you're going to date, if you say something like, you wouldn't want to go out with me, would you?
That's a negative. You're starting right away with a negative.
Yeah. So bad attitude, but the thing about the casino is it's so quick. When we're at the dice table together, we get tables all to ourselves, reserved. And if you're in wide open heart space, in joy, gratitude, abundant feeling, one with everybody, grounded, meaning connected with spirit and earth, you get rewarded with money within seconds. If you go into greed, fear, ego, you get punished by withdrawal of money within seconds. So Vegas is a great place to get feedback because...
It's instant.
Yeah. In real life, you could wait months with a bad attitude before it comes to haunt you, or be in a good mood for months before the new job comes along.
And
you can get discouraged.
Did you almost get thrown out of Vegas? It's almost like card counting, basically.
Well, they, you know, they're fine with, I'm selective. They don't worry so much about, quote, cheating and dice as they would say.
Did they know you were doing an experiment?
They know that I teach meditation to people around the world, and I bring groups basically saying, if you think you can hold a nice meditative space, see if you can do it in a casino. They know we use positive energy. And I do have good forms of money management, betting, you know, that type of thing. And because it's a new group when we go out each time, people first, it's a challenge to hold the kind of emotions I've just mentioned and try to learn this complex game. So often we start by what we call planting a few seeds in the first session. Then we might break even, then win a little bit. And we're not trying to kill them. We bet small amounts of money. So... because our energy is positive, they've actually welcomed us back. There have been casinos that asked us to go somewhere else. But the casino we've been at for a long time has been very receptive. One of the things about this is I want this to be very tangibly beneficial to people that we don't even know. So we put a little blessing bucket in the corner of the room anonymously, and we've raised over $100,000 for charity. Sometimes that charity might be one of the casino crew who their child is ill, that kind of thing.
God.
So our reputation out there is to be in very positive energy, not being greedy, being very nice to the crews. So they tend to welcome us. Vegas likes winners as long as you're not doing it in an unfair way to them, cheating, you know, by mechanically.
You kind of remind me of Kevin Spacey in the movie 21, where you had a group of people and you went out and you did your thing.
Yeah, there's things, you know, there's movies where people learn mathematical systems and things, try to beat the house. The house usually just laughs at that because they don't work too well. But our winning isn't guaranteed, that's for sure, but it's more likely with the kinds of energies that I've been...
Well, now that's an interesting question. If you go in with all these points, happiness, abundance, gratitude, compassion, fortunate, and you don't win, what went wrong?
Usually, you know, group initially has a challenge to holding all those energies. It's we meditate for a whole day ahead of time and we develop those energies. But as I hit the casino, all the thoughts about loss, performance anxiety, fear come up, not good enough. And then that's what happens. That's healed during the 3-day workshop. And but initially, that can be pretty prominent. The energies get so high when you have folks who've been in post-polio pain for 20 years, wake up pain-free. We've had folks come in deep grief about losing a child through death, and by the end of the workshop, they're smiling, and then they go back into their communities and win $30,000 on penny slots in the next couple weeks. But it's designed as a place really to take you from an average place or even lower to a very high place. And since it's a learning environment, you know, we just don't walk in there smooth as glass and have this mastered. It's interesting how many things can come up. You know, I went in and had a lot of success, and so then when I'd go, they'd say, oh, here comes Mr. Lucky.
I got it. Stay with us. We're going to come back and take some phone calls and stories with you, Joseph, in a moment.